Welcome to the Thrive Podcast. I'm your host, Kathleen Drennan. If you're a floral designer on a mission to build a profitable and thriving business, then you're in exactly the right place. I'm on a mission to bust through the secrecy of our industry, make it easier for you to know exactly what to focus on to help you build your business, and teach you my favorite mindset hacks so that you can learn to show up with more confidence and authority as you grow your business. I am so grateful to be able to share my journey with you, pass along my best shortcuts, and get you on the path to feeling more confident and making money doing what you love. No matter where in the world you're tuning in from, remember, you've got this. Hands down, one of the most frequently asked questions I get from other business owners, and this is like around the world. It's like I am inundated every day with emails or DMs asking, hey, Kathleen, should I buy this other flower business? And I thought it could be super helpful because you might have had that thought yourself, and or you might not have even thought that it's a possibility for you. And or I just simply wanted to walk you through my thought process because it's one of those things where I have developed my own thought process around figuring out what is the right investment, but also knowing it's something that's so personal to every single one of us. And sitting down and talking to other business owners around whether it is the right investment isn't a yes or no answer. It's not as kind of straightforward as saying, send me the P&L and I'll tell you if it's a good investment. Because so much of this work is like, is it in alignment with where you see yourself in the future? And because it's not a simple yes or no answer, I thought it could be super helpful to share with you the 10 questions to consider if you are looking at buying another business. And I will make these big enough and bold enough and like strategic enough that it's not even just about buying another flower shop, but wherever you are in your business entrepreneurial journey, this idea of having a structure that you can follow so that you can feel confident in your decision making. And this is so much about building the skill set for yourself, because like I put this in the category of like, nobody taught us how to be adults. Nobody taught us how to make these sort of decisions. And I am always kind of astounded if you like zoom out for a half of a second and you think about the thought process of buying a house. Like, that's a very, quote, adult decision that many people expect us to just know within 10 seconds of walking into a property if this is the right property for us. It's like, wait, what? No. Like, let's talk about this both from an emotional point of view as well from a very logical, strategic point of view, because I do think it is about finding a balance between both of them. Because I think it's very easy for us to be like, the numbers need to add up, and that's the only way you're going to make this decision. And then I'll be like, yes, and it also needs to align with the future that you can see for yourself. Does this investment align with who you want to become, the life that you want to lead, and how you see yourself living your day-to-day experience? And I don't think that's something that we can necessarily take lightly. And I don't think it's necessarily fair to say, trust your intuition. It's like, what? But I do think it can be so helpful to have a very strategic blueprint that you can follow, which is the whole point of these 10 questions. And I really like to actually distill down the decision of investing in a new business, purchasing another business, thinking of it intentionally as the decision around having a child. Because I think this is one of those things where it's like, I had no idea what I was getting into when I decided that I wanted to make the pivot away from corporate marketing, go into business for myself. But this idea of, in hindsight, if somebody had sat me down 15 years ago and said, Kathleen, this is exactly the same thought process as having kids. And I was like, that's actually super helpful, because that is not a decision that we take lightly. It's not a decision that it's like, oh, I just woke up one day and decided it was going to be the right thing for me. It's like, although that might have been part of the experience, it's also fast forwarding, thinking, okay, what's going to happen when the kids are 10? What's going to happen when the kids are 18? What's going to happen when you're in your 70s, 80s, 90s? Like, those are all exercises that we can go through. And we get to take a very similar thought process when we're looking at buying another business. So I want to dive into these 10 questions, but remember, you can come back and listen to this podcast anytime you're thinking about making an investment in yourself or in your business, anytime you feel like you're at a bit of a crossroads, or if somebody comes to you and says, hey, I'm thinking of selling my business. Is there anything that I should know? Hey, I'm thinking of selling my business. Do you want to buy it? Come back, listen to this podcast episode, and write down the answers for yourself. Like, put on your best overachieving star student Dean's List persona and be like, I'm going to work through all 10 of these questions and I'm going to come up with the right answers for you. And that's so much about this strategy and this blueprint that I want to share with you is what I think is a good investment for me isn't necessarily a good investment for you, because your values might be different, where you are in your life might be different, the relationships and the support that you have might be different, and knowing that you get to make the best decision for you. So this is about so much more than just the numbers, even though the numbers play a really important part in the decision-making process. But it's about finding that right balance for yourself between logic and emotion. So my 10 questions balance logic and emotion. And in the beginning, these first ones might seem really obvious, but I wish I had known. Wish I had known these questions. The other thing to think about is I find this thought process really helpful to look at your business and set it up so that you could sell it in the future. And I know that that's something that most of us don't think about, particularly when we're in the early stages of building a business. We're not sitting there thinking, oh, I can't wait till the day that I sell it. But this mindset shift for me has been so helpful because it really shows where you can put your time, energy, and effort to help you grow your business, scale your business, and then sell your business. So question number one, what are you buying? Now, I know that that sounds so obvious, but I do find it really helpful to actually make a list. So you could do this with pen and paper, you could do this in a Google Doc, but what are the actual assets that you're buying? So this is going to vary depending on the business that you are actually purchasing, but it's very much in line with like, what are the actual assets listed on the sales contract or on the sales listing? What are the actual things that are going to come with the business? So there's going to be obvious stuff like the supplies, maybe a cool room, sink, like shop fit out, website URL, phone number. Is there an email list? Is there a social media following? Like, what are the actual tangible assets that you're buying in the business? The second question is, what are you buying from a systems point of view? And in most cases, this isn't necessarily going to be clearly documented, but it's going to be up to you as the person purchasing the business to be able to know what are the systems that are in place or what systems can be documented before the final handover date. So those systems might be templates and email inquiry responses. It could be staff training. It could be a staff manual. It could be open checklists, closed checklists. It could be hiring protocols. It could be how the wholesale order is put in to the growers. There's so many things that you could wrap up in that whole systems bucket. But this is one of those things. It's like, you don't know what you don't know. And I definitely didn't know, because when we bought the shop originally, I had one email, one text message, and thank heavens I had so many like shadow handover days with the previous owner, but I just didn't even know that having documented systems could be really helpful. So that's something that, although it may not be written down, you can ask for that in the contract of sale, and you can actually decide that through the handover process, you're going to document the systems that they have. That could be something that you do with the existing owner. So number three is knowing your numbers. And this is something that's really helpful, and I will say definitely enlist the help of an accountant and do the typical look back at the P&L over the last 3 years. But one of the things that's also really helpful to know going in is that not everything is going to like look as obvious as it should look on a P&L. And I don't mean that in terms of like people have really sketchy business behaviors, but it's one of these things where it's like, unless you know to ask these questions, you're not going to know that this is what you're buying. So the first one is, what is the owner actually getting paid? And there's going to be what they document on the P&L, and then there's going to be how they actually manage their cash flow to make that happen. So this is something that's worth asking the owner, like how and what is the owner actually paying themselves? How often are they paying themselves? So are they paying themselves sporadically, or are they paying themselves a regular paycheck? Are they able to put any money aside for their own retirement? Is that part of their paycheck? Do they have a plan for that? Or is that something that's just not even on their radar? And then the real kicker is, how many hours are they putting in for that paycheck? So if they're paying themselves, you know, $2,000 a week or $1,000 a week, but they're working 100 hours a week, it's so helpful for you to know that that's the current structure. So knowing if you're going into this being an owner operator, or you going into this as like building your empire, it's just really helpful to know, okay, how many hours is the owner putting in? And then what is the pay that's coming on the other half of that? And remembering that how much they're paying themselves is different to the actual profitability of the business, because there should be a paycheck that's in there, but also cash left over to be able to reinvest back in the business. So question number four is gaining clarity on where the orders are coming from and where the orders are coming from right now. And in most cases, in my experience, most business owners aren't going to have that necessarily documented, but the best business owners will be able to actually tell you. So they'll be able to tell you, you know, what percentage is coming from web, what percentage is coming from funeral homes, what percentage is coming from phone calls, what percentage is coming from walk-in, what percentage is coming from workshops, what percentage is coming from weddings. Like, this is really about understanding all the different marketing channels and then where all the sales are actually coming from. So it might not be formally documented, but this is worth asking the existing owner and really digging in and seeing if they can give you any understanding of where the actual sales are coming from. Question number five, what is the markup model that they're currently using? Now, this is something I wish I had asked the previous business owner early on, but thank heavens for the existing staff who had been there for a really long time, but I didn't have the courage and I didn't even know that this was a question to ask. But asking the existing owner, okay, what is the markup model that they're using? Are they varying it depending on the different products that they're selling? Do they have a different markup for funerals and weddings than workshops? Do they have a different markup for different ingredients in the actual shop? Like, getting them to articulate what that markup model is really helpful. Knowing, okay, if they're going into this and they're marking up that product by 2 times, but they're marking that product up by 5 times, there must be some strategy behind that. So getting them to really articulate that for you. And again, this doesn't necessarily have to be written down, but if you go into the conversation, if you go into the handover experience, if you go into before you even get a contract drawn up, knowing that these are questions that you get to ask. It's exactly like the amount of time and energy and effort that we go through with a house inspection and making sure that we're actually bringing people in to like look at the assets that we're buying in a house. You get to do the same thing in the business. The trickiest thing about the business side of things, and this is particularly true in the floral design industry and the small business space, in most cases, these things are not documented. So you, as the person who's interested in buying the business, gets to go in with eyes wide open, knowing you're the one who gets to gather all the information. Whether the owner actually knows this information, wants to share this information with you, is going to tell you so much about how like truly profitable and successful that business is. Because when I think about that handover that I had with the previous business owner, it's like she was so transparent and I got to spend so much time with her and ask her so many questions. She knew, like, even though these things were not documented, she knew her business so well. She knew where the blind spots were. She knew where the improvements could be made. She knew that she wanted to hand over her baby to somebody else who was willing to take it to the next level. So even though it wasn't documented, even though it wasn't written down, she was so forthcoming with this information that just proved to me, it's like, oh, this is a really sound investment. In addition to the numbers really do add up. I was so clear in terms of how much she's paying herself, where the money's coming from, where the growth opportunities were, like the numbers added up. She also knew her business really well, and she knew where the potential could be, and I knew what I wanted to do with this business. So number six, if you kept the business as is for 12 months, are you okay with that? So are you okay with this level of revenue, this level of profitability, this kind of staffing model, this markup model? If you just decided you're going to keep the business as is for 12 months, how does that feel to you? So businesses are traditionally sold on a walk-in, walk-out perspective, meaning if you get handed the keys on Monday morning, if you open the door on the Monday and you follow all the systems and protocols of the previous owner exactly as they did, then you will be able to generate the revenue and the profitability that they did. So I love this idea of, I know we all go in and we buy businesses and then we want to like rip the whole thing apart and tear it all down and make it our own. But just giving yourself that idea of, in your imagination, if you kept the business as it was for 12 months, would you be okay with the results that that business was creating? And then question number 7 is, where do you see yourself 5 years from now and 10 years from now? Because you're going to go into the business and you're going to want to make changes. You're going to want to make improvements. You're going to want to put your own kind of stamp on it, put your own spin on it. Making sure that that decision is aligning with where you see yourself in 5 years or 10 years. Particularly knowing you don't have to buy and own this business for forever. You can go in, buy a business, and then sell it in 5 years. You could go in, buy a business, and sell it in 10 years. Like, you are making an investment, exactly like you might be buying an investment property, or you might be investing in the stock market, or you might be investing in, you know, mutual funds, or whatever your kind of go-to investment vehicle is. You get to invest in a business in exactly the same structure. This doesn't have to be, like, this is where it can differ from having kids. This doesn't have to be a forever decision, but this could be a for now decision. But kind of knowing and almost deciding ahead of time, how many years do I want to own this business for? Because it definitely doesn't have to be for forever. Question number 8, and this is a very personal question that nobody can tell you the answer to, but why do you want to have that flower business? What is it about that business that appeals to you? And it could be, you know, the existing structure. It could be the location. It could be that it's an established business that's been around for 27 years and, you know, has a great reputation in the community. It could be that you see opportunity for tweaks and changes. It could be, you know what, that business model is awesome. I want to supplement it with subscriptions, wedding packages, and workshops. Like, there's so many reasons that you're going to want to buy that business. So getting clear for yourself about what those reasons why are is so incredibly helpful. Also remembering, you're the only person who needs to like your reasons why. Like, you don't need to rationalize it to your accountant. You don't have to rationalize it to your dad. You can be like, I want to buy that business. I've gone through Kathleen's 10 questions. I love my reasons why, so I'm going to say yes. Question number 9, what unique strengths can you bring to the table? I will say, for every single one of us that hasn't been a lifetime florist, do not dismiss your past experience and expertise. Some of the most successful business owners I know are previous nurses, doctors, teachers. They had corporate careers. They were website designers. They were engineers. They weren't in a creative field for their entire life. Maybe they managed a preschool. Maybe they worked at a garden center. Maybe they were a stay-at-home mom and they were like, you know what? I know I'm not reaching my full potential. So don't dismiss yourself if you haven't been a florist for decades. Don't disqualify yourself. And if you have been a florist for your entire life, don't discredit yourself either. This is one of those things where we will always find reasons to support the belief that we're not good enough, but stop telling yourself that story. But remembering, it's like, what strengths do you bring to the table? I'll tell you, if you have managed a preschool in the past, if you've been a nurse, if you've been a teacher, I was like, should we talk about the strengths that you bring in terms of, like, if you can manage parents, if you can manage families, if you can manage the humans in those challenging situations, my friend, running a flower shop will be smooth sailing for you, because you'll be like, oh, I can deal with like emotional customers and disappointed customers and crazy people. That is no problem. It's like a no-brainer. So what strengths do you as a human bring to the table? And then question number 10, and this is one I really want you to like think about. What does an ideal week in this business look like for you. So if you're buying an existing business that has a retail shop and it has a lease attached to it and the landlord has a very specific expectation in terms of hours to be open, really taking that on board and really thinking about for you as the owner, what does an ideal week in this business look like? Would you roster yourself to work in the shop for a certain amount of time? Do you want nothing to do with working in the shop? Do you only want to be working on weddings? Do you want to be the person that leads the building of the workshops or a flower school? Like, what part of the puzzle do you want to play a role in? And then what does an ideal week actually look like? And is that similar or is that different to the current reality of what a week in the business looks like today? So this is what I find super interesting is you can, in your handover contract, like in the contract of sale with the existing business owner, you will actually put into that contract X number of days of handover. So that means that the existing business owner will be with you in the business. You'll be able to shadow them in the business, watch them go through so many of the steps in the process so that you can kind of A, learn by osmosis, see how they actually carry themselves, see the dynamic of the team, see how the pieces of the puzzle fit together. But knowing you don't know what you don't know until you can actually get into it. So I had 5 days, like 5 full days of handover with the previous business owner. And I am so grateful for that because we got to go to the market together. So I got to meet all of her wholesalers. I got to be introduced by her to the wholesalers. I got to meet all the growers. I got to see her in action at wedding consultations. I got to see her in action with her team. I got to see her in action with her longstanding customers. I got to see her in action on flower deliveries. I got to see her in action in so many different situations. And I found that's so helpful because then me as the total noob, no idea what I'm doing, I at least had a vision of what I could model my behavior after. But also going, it took so much of the fear and uncertainty out of it because it's like, oh, I know that there are things that I'm really good at. I can manage a team, I can lead a team, I can give feedback, I can put systems in place. But there are things where it's like, I had never done a wedding consultation with like a real client and a real bride before, but being able to like listen to her carry herself and the kind of expertise that she had in that conversation was so incredibly helpful. So that's one of the things that I'm so grateful for. And I do think is really helpful in addition to, obviously, like I will say the obvious thing of like step one is get the P&L, sit down with an accountant and interrogate it. And then sit down and think about, okay, what are all the questions that I'd like to have answers to before the actual handover date? And then build into the contract as many days as you want to within that handover period. So I chose 5 only because I didn't know that you could choose more. But you can have a really long handover period. You can have a really long transition period. You can be really explicit in terms of XYZ must be documented before the actual like handover date. Like you can put into that contract so many specifics of what you want to see on the other side. And then the previous owner is responsible for making that happen. So I hope that this has been helpful. And I hope that it's super useful to know that when you're looking at buying an existing business, there are a lot of things to consider. But this kind of 10-step process, this 10-step strategy has been super helpful for me because some of the questions will be super easy for you to answer. Some of the questions require a little bit of self-discovery and personal reflection. And some of them, it's like, you know what, I'm going to sit down with an accountant or I'm going to sit down with somebody who's got a lot of just business experience and being like, hey, so not even about this business in particular, but what do you think are some great questions to ask the existing business owner and really like arm yourself so that you can embody that expert energy and feel really confident in the decision that you're going to make. So remember, you can always go out there and buy a business. That is always a possibility in terms of what you want to do as your next level investment, knowing you get to find the right solution for you. So this is not a one-size-fits-all scenario, but I hope that these 10 questions give you the clarity that you need to be able to go out there and find the best solution for you. And as always, please take care of yourself. I am so grateful to spend this time with you. Drive safe, eat your vegetables, drink your water, get some sleep, and I will talk to you again next week. Bye for now.